Have you ever said in your life, if only?
Yeah.
Have you ever said that? If only? If only I would get that job, everything would change. If only I could meet that right person, my life would be perfect. If only.
If only I wasn't angry at people.
If only I didn't have anger. If only you could fill in the blank. If only. But if you think of God and you get to fill in the blank, how would He fill in the blank? If only. And the answer is readily available. We know the answer. The answer is the purpose that we're here today. Jesus. The answer is Jesus. Jesus is the answer. If you have any other questions, Jesus is the answer. If only Jesus. If only. And as we look at Palm Sunday, Palm Sunday is kind of crazy. Palm Sunday, these people are waving palms and saying, the King is here. Rejoice, rejoice. But in 5 days, these same people, these same crowds, this same community will say, crucify Him. It just proves how fickle we really are. How fast we can change. If only. If only those people would still be waving palm branches a week from now. If only all these people today in our world would see Jesus. If only we could stop all the crazy wars going on in Ukraine. And I was just talking to Ashley across the way and talking with her about, her husband was underneath some of the rubble over in Israel. And he needs a new lung now. If only that madness would stop. If only Ukraine and Russia would kind of get along. If only the United States and all the other countries would just make amends. If only we watched out for our brother and sister like we do our... If only... But today is a day of rejoicing. Sunday is a day of pure celebration. But between today and Sunday, and this is the event I tell you to be at more than any other event this week, is Good Friday. Good Friday has always been really special to me. Good Friday is a day like no other day. Good Friday is a day that is filled with joy and sorrow simultaneously. Sorrow like we've never ever seen or experienced. And joy of a defeat of death like we couldn't even imagine. Today is Palm Sunday. As we relive this experience, let us keep it in context with this entire week. From the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 12. The next day is the day after Jesus is over with at Mary and Martha's with Lazarus, and Lazarus has already been raised from the dead, and all the people are getting all excited because they've seen this thing happen, they've seen this sign, they've seen this miracle, and they all want to get around Jesus because they know something's going on here with Jesus. This is a Jesus that raised Lazarus from the dead. So the next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. So the crowd is gathering. Maybe it starts off with maybe a dozen or so. Maybe it's a whole bunch of people from Lazarus' house at first with Jesus. And then, you know, all the neighbors are coming around. And then before you know it, the folks from the area adjacent, they're coming over the hill. And all these other people. And before you know it, this massive crowd of people are there. They took palm branches. And went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." They took palm branches. Even before they saw Jesus, they were grabbing up the palm branches. Even before they saw him, it's not like they saw him and then they went and they grabbed up some palm branches. They got him ahead of time because they knew he was coming. And I'm going to tell you, they were really excited because all the stuff that's been going on. Jesus has been going around healing people. He's been raising the dead. He's been exorcising demons. I mean, he's been making a big splash all over the place. They took palm branches and went out to meet him. I bet you a bunch of them wanted to be healed of something or another. Shouting Hosanna. And Hosanna means, "Oh, save us." You know, I think that might be the second thing, or maybe even the primary thing that God wants to hear from us. I think the primary thing is, "I need you." And I think the next one, a really close second, maybe tied for first, is, "Oh, save us." Hosanna. Oh, save us. Admitting that we need some help, right? Both of those, "I need you" and "Hosanna," both of them mean, hey, we need something here from you, God. You're necessary, God. Isn't that what we need to hear in this world today? That people say, "Hey, God, you're necessary." Not, "Hey, does God exist?" And, "Hey, can I get along without him?" No, "God, you're Hosanna. Oh, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." The King. That's going to send some shock waves around. The Jewish elders aren't going to like the hearing of that. The King of Israel. Oh, wait a minute. That's us. We're in charge here. The King of Israel? Well, wait a minute, what about Caesar? Caesar's the king of this area. The Romans aren't going to like that. You can feel the shockwave underneath, can't you? You got all this Hosanna, you got all these palm branches, but this little tremor happening on the ground. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written. A donkey. Jesus sits on a donkey. Not on this great white steed, and not inside this little thing that they carry with four poles, you know, with a seat on it. And he doesn't come in with all this pomp and all this adoration around him, and all these people guarding the area. I kind of picture like a king, you know, they got those four poles, and they got that seat, and they carry him. Isn't that what the king's for? Is that the king? Or maybe at least a great white steed, but
a Rolls Royce
donkey? On a donkey? Humble? "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." See, this is written. This is written in the Old Testament. This is written. This is the way it's supposed to go down. Have you ever noticed that everything is written ahead of time? That all these things are predicted out? Even as we're in that book of Revelation, it's so evident to me that we are already in this, and that we are already living this, and it was already predicted. It is back then, it is now, and it is in the future. And that is, because God doesn't have a timeline. God is. He says, I am. He says to Moses, if they ask you who sent you, you tell them, I am. I am because I am the past. I am the present. I am the future. I don't have a timeline. I love this part. These disciples, man, you just got to shake your head about these disciples. Like, I wonder if Jesus, half the time, he's just kind of like scratching his head like, are they ever going to get it? Are they ever going to figure this stuff out? Are they ever going to know who I am? What will it take? I have to imagine he's getting kind of frustrated with them. I mean, they've seen miracles. They've seen Lazarus raised to the... What do you need here, okay? I went over to the synagogue one time next to my house. And actually, I was just talking to Ashley across the way yesterday when I was here. And I was asking her about what does Israel believe about the Messiah? What do you believe about the Messiah? I was asking her about Jesus. And she said, well, her answer was quite curious. She said, when the Messiah comes, there will be peace. He will bring peace. So that's what Israel's looking for, is that peace. And mind you, Israel's still kind of stuck on Israel. You know, can we relate that we care about ourselves first? You know, Israel's stuck on Israel. What's going to happen to Israel? And even in the book of Revelation, we struggle with, are we talking about Israel here? Are we talking about the church here? What are we talking? And the answer is yes. We're talking about all of it. And so, his disciples, it says at first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified. Say that word with me. Glorified. Let's do it again. Glorified. Keep that word today, okay? Keep that word all week. Keep that word after Easter, okay? After Easter. I want you to keep that word for after Easter. After Jesus was glorified. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had to be done to him. And what they're talking about here, what things they're talking about, is all of it. Not just him coming in on a donkey, but also what's going to happen in the preceding week. What's going to happen at the crucifixion. What's going to happen on Good Friday. What's going to happen on Resurrection Sunday. All of this has been written about, and more. And it's only after he is glorified. Glorified means that Jesus dies. Jesus is buried. Jesus is resurrected. They come to that empty tomb. We'll talk about that next week. And Jesus is ascended into heaven. And he is glorified. That's when he is glorified. He is glorified when he is ascended. It is not until he ascends that all of a sudden the light bulb goes on for all the disciples. And it's like all 11 of them, actually 12 because they bring in another new one, but all 12 of them, it's like the lightning goes off simultaneously. You're like, bing, 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 bing. Like they all of a sudden have this realization. And the reason that all 12 of them have it at the same time, and it's only after he's glorified, is because it wasn't thought out, it wasn't like they figured it out, is because God gave it to them. Now the crowd, we're back to that crowd. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. This crowd, if you remember, Lazarus is in the tomb for like several days. It's getting pretty rank in there. Like, I don't know if any of us would want to walk in that tomb. I think it would knock us down. But Jesus walks in there, and he walks out with Lazarus.
And Lazarus, come forth. It's like in the movie.
And Lazarus comes forth. But Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, and the buzz starts happening all around. And so all this crowd that was there that day, they've been hanging around. They're checking them out. And so they start to come, and they're becoming part of that grouping that is praising him because they've seen things nobody's ever seen before. And they're spreading the word. They're telling people about it. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed the sign, went out to meet him. So the word's getting around. Everyone's getting excited. They want to see this Messiah. They want to see this miracle worker. Where is he? Maybe he'll perform another miracle and we get to see that. Maybe we get to see something happening here. But the Pharisees. I love this part. It's so typical. So the Pharisees are kind of checking all this out. They're watching all these people get all excited. The Pharisees see people waving these branches. They see him coming in on a donkey. They're not all impressed. So they start kind of talking to each other. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. If only the whole world would go after him. If only what these Pharisees are worried about would actually happen. If only the whole world would go after Jesus. What would it look like? What would happen in Israel and Hamas? What would happen in Ukraine and Russia? What would happen in the United States of America? What would happen in China? What would happen with our relations with Mexico? What would happen across the globe?" That's why I love the book of Revelation. If only the whole world would go after him. But what I am here to tell you today is that if only is now. If only is now. If only the whole world will go after him is now. The past, the present, the future. God is timeless. It is one. It is all one. It begins here, in my heart. If only the whole world, if only the whole time would go after him. It starts here, right? If only the whole county would go after him. If only Dave would not only go after him, but also try to help others find him. If only that Greg could talk to a few more people and help them see a light that they're not seeing. If only LaWanda and all that pain is gone and she pours into her grandchildren so that they would know Jesus. If only is now. And I will prove it. This is so cool. This is from the book of Revelation. This is the end of the story. This is John on the island of Patmos. As he has this revelation. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude. Can we say crowd? Crowd. That no one could count. Can we say the whole world? From every nation, tribe, people, and language. standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding, what? They were holding palm branches in their hands. If only is now for that person who doesn't know Jesus yet. If only is now for ourselves as we walk this walk. If only is now for the church, the bride of Jesus, which is what Revelation is talking about. If only, as we go into this week, I want us to understand, if only is now. As we experience Good Friday, that Good Friday is now. As we go into Easter Sunday and the resurrection, that the resurrection is now. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you that you are timeless. We thank you that your love is timeless, that your mercy is timeless, that your understanding is timeless. We thank you that the past, the present, and the future are all as one to you. And that the only thing that you're looking at is our heart now. And so our heart is now with Jesus. Our heart is now with you. Our heart is now with the Holy Spirit. Our heart is now with one another as we gather. We thank you, dear Father God, for your church, your people, your movement, your light in the darkness. We love you, Lord, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we pray the birth, if only. Can you start, if only, here, in me? Can I help someone else find, if only, in them? And can we move to the book of Revelation, to the truth of the beginning, the end, and the destiny of everything? When the great multitude stands before your throne, Lord Jesus, waving palm branches of victory. This we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Israel, but each and every one of us, that is where God is taking this. That is the journey. That is the destination. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for the journey. We thank you for the destination. We thank you for the path and that you light, that you give us the lamp of Jesus to light our path, the word Jesus to light our path. And that you already have our destination assured. Help us to help someone else this Easter. Bring them to you, to your path, to your destination. This we ask through Jesus Christ. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus. Go and share Holy Week with somebody. Bring them to Good Friday over at Hope Crossing. Bring them here on Easter Sunday. Bring them to that Easter egg, those with kids. We will have ministers in all of these places to help somebody find their way. And also, every one of you as a minister can help anyone at any time find their way. And they are looking. Have an amazing week. Rejoin for Easter Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord.